The Business News Hour is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro. Learn more at homeconnectusa.com. And the Strudel House Fine Austrian Dining. Ask about the gourmet passport, thestrudelhouse.com.
Welcome back to the News Hour. We've got, we're sneaking up on 5:30. Grateful that you have made the decision to hang out with us this afternoon. Our guest is Paul Mankins, who is regarded as one of the leading design practitioners here in the Midwest. For over three decades, he's directed the design of corporate, residential, civic, and higher education facilities, received over 40 design awards. Can you imagine that? From the American Institute of Architects. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Paul. Good to have you here. You've been at this a while, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been a good living.
I can well understand that. Well, we want to dig right into this if we can, because I think this is some interesting stuff. Some of the work that you've done here in the metro would be very recognizable to some of the folks that are listening, and they're all varied. The principal Riverwalk Pavilion is very different from the new Central Library, and the Orion Scott Chapel at Drake is also different. What's it like to create these lasting impressions in a community like Des Moines and beyond? What does that feel like to say, these are going to be here for decades?
Yeah, that is one of the greatest things about being an architect, actually, is you leave a legacy that's going to outlive you. Now how it feels? Hard to say exactly how it feels, but I am aware of the idea that we're producing something that's going to live longer than me, longer than my kids, and something for my kids to tell their kids that,
absolutely,
you know, grandpa was involved in that.
You know, when I plant a tree, I can drive by and say, yeah, kids, 20 years ago I planted that tree. But you, on the other hand, can say to your grandchildren, yeah, I had a hand in building that structure, and it's still here. That's an amazing legacy when you stop and think about it.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, that is one of the best parts of being an architect. Now, obviously, I think that's true of the entire construction industry. Because while we design buildings, you know, we don't build them. You know, there's a team of people that build buildings, and they can all drive their kids by these buildings.
Sure.
Now, the downside of that is there's also buildings I've worked on that are no longer here.
So you've been in it long enough. Exactly.
Yeah, you get to watch them go away, too.
Well, that's the next thing that I wanted to talk about. You know, Des Moines is on a building frenzy right now. We're raising buildings, and we're raising parking garages. We're rehabbing buildings. Is there really that much demand, or is this pent-up demand that has left over from the recession?
I think it is pent-up demand, particularly on the private sector side. There was a lot of, for our personal business, we do a lot of public sector work and private sector work. Now, that wasn't true in 2010. We had virtually no private sector work. I think it was just people uneasy about what the economy had in store. And what the government had in store, frankly. And so at some point, I would say in 2012, they got tired of waiting.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about it is that there was so much fear-mongering going on. I understand the recession was horrible. It was lousy in places like Las Vegas and Florida and Texas and Michigan. Iowa was able to skate pretty much. We had so much diversity here, so that didn't affect us too much. But still, the national media and some local media, they were quick on the button to say, oh, you know, the sky is falling. This is going to be absolutely terrible. And the pockets did shrink back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've often told people that Iowa, the economy in Iowa operates on the same sine curve as it does everywhere else. It's just the amplitude is a lot less.
Absolutely.
So the good times are not quite as good. The bad times are not quite as bad. And that's not a bad place to be. You know, if you're practicing in any kind of business, that it's going to moderate the impact of the economic cycle. I'd much rather not have as bad of bad times. And I'd pass on experiencing the really boom great times, and I think that's kind of what happens here. Now, you know, it's clear that it's true in Des Moines. It's particularly true in eastern Iowa. If you go into Iowa City is having a building boom now that we probably won't experience again in our lifetimes. A billion dollars of construction going on in a city of, I don't know how large Iowa City is, maybe 75,000 people.
Yeah.
that has an impact on the building trades. That's very positive, certainly not going to be repeated anytime real soon.
Well, we've also seen that in Cedar Rapids.
Yes.
Where Cedar Rapids has gotten tons of flood money, if you will, mm-hmm. and they are redesigning loads of things down there, including their streets, to make them more bicycle-friendly with
right.
protected lanes and all kinds of things. You know, when we talk about trends in the building industry, and you've been around mm-hmm. a couple of decades, what are the changing trends that maybe were hot 20 years ago, but that's kind of cooled off now? And as far as architectural design, what's hot today?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting. I have been around just long enough to see the kind of fading of the reaction to the oil energy crisis, you know, of the mm-hmm. 1970s, mm-hmm. so where people were very interested in sustainability, but they didn't call it sustainability then. It was primarily energy efficiency. And now to see that come back up and layered on with another entirely different set of issues. So people are extremely interested in sustainability, extremely interested in the impact of the building industry on the environment, and trying to mediate that. And I don't think that's necessarily, we'd like to think that's not a trend, except that
that
was something that was true in the late 70s as well, and kind of ebbed and flows. And now we're at a high point where that's a very, very important set of issues for almost all clients. And some of that's bottom line oriented, but some of that also is about altruism, you know,
sure.
basically.
And to follow up on that, LEED buildings, L-E-E-D, LEED buildings that are supposed to be project more sustainability, are they more expensive to build, but is the payoff then come over the long run?
Yeah, you know, they are more expensive to build. You know, I think that everybody wants to hear an answer that says they're not. But there is a series of strategies that are relatively low-hanging fruit that have a payback in the five-year range. Now, if you're going to build something that is really at the leading edge of LEED, something that's LEED Platinum, you're probably doing that to communicate a series of corporate or civic values mm-hmm. as much as trying to get that money back. That money may not be the payback for that might run in decades. But there are some of the other areas where energy efficiency, water efficiency, you're going to get a reasonable payback on that. We're also blessed with extremely low energy rates here in
Iowa.
So that affects the payback scenario. If you were practicing somewhere else,
it truly would. I even stopped at a come-and-go gas station the other day.
They're very committed to that.
And very committed to that. There's brass plaques all over the place that, you know, that they use solar, that the bricks are, you know, locally sourced and all of these mm-hmm. kinds of things. It's interesting to see that even in the convenience store chain, one that you probably wouldn't think would be into the sustainability model.
They are, absolutely. Yeah, they're committed to that, and I think that's you know, that's a testament to their values as a corporation. I don't, you know, they're not doing that because it'll necessarily pay off or pay directly to the bottom line. That's as much about a set of corporate values as anything else.
Now, you were with the Architectural Association of America, or the American Architectural,
yes.
yeah, the Institute of Architecture. What is that group's overall arching mission?
Well, it's really twofold. I would say that the American Institute of Architects is trying to advance the needs of architects.
Sure.
So it's obviously it's a professional organization trying to improve the practice environment for architects, but also trying to advance the public's awareness of architecture generally and the value of design. So I would kind of put it into those two fundamental categories. It's more than a kind of a trade organization. I think it has a slightly broader mission than that.
It's training, and it's new practices, common practices. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that there's also maybe perhaps some lobbying that goes on.
There is, yeah. It's, I mean, it's like any professional organization.
Sure.
They're going to have a advocacy group that both works at the state level, but also at the national level. But at the same time, they have an outreach component as well. So they're kind of interested in educating the public. You know, selfishly, we'll call the public potential clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
About the value of design and the value of architects.
And in a couple of weeks, you've got you're going to have about 1,000 architects here in Des Moines. As a matter of fact, we had Greg Edwards from the CVB, Convention and Visitors Bureau, here yesterday. He was talking about the economic impact of meetings like yours and others. Why do you think you guys chose to come to Des Moines?
Well, some of that is structured. So every 6 years, roughly, the architects from the Central States region of the AIA, which includes Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, and curiously, Oklahoma, meet in Des Moines. So the last time we met here was 2009. It moves around every year. Iowa has a really strong tradition of having a good conference. Not all chapters do. So it's kind of, when it travels to other locations, sometimes it's novel. You know, it's something that they do maybe only every 6 years, whereas here we have a conference every year. The regional one just is slightly larger, probably about 20% larger. It does give us a chance to kind of show off the city because, you know, Des Moines is a remarkable place.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm a cheerleader, but it's not, you know, it's true. I mean, we live in a remarkable community for the size population we have. And we have other communities very similar in size within our region that I would say don't compare very well. You know, without naming like Wichita.
I've been there, yeah.
You know, those are almost exactly the same size, and yet you would not imagine that from visiting.
Yeah, and your company is called Substance.
Yes.
That's an interesting name for a company. I'm in the advertising and marketing world, you know, and so we're into branding and we're into advertising, marketing, and slogans, and television and radio and packaging and all those other kinds of things. But I found that was a very interesting name, Substance.
Yes.
It says a lot, I think, perhaps about your mission.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we like to say, you know, in the war between style and substance, we picked a side, you know, but also some of that was to make a place that people could feel invested in. So rather than call it Hickman Mankins Gardner or something,
sure.
It was something that you could invest yourself in and understand that you could be a part of this just as much as the business owners, or that you could be a future business owner and not have to worry about having your name on the door.
And when you have new principals, you don't have to change your name.
Exactly. You can build the brand.
Paul Mankins, ladies and gentlemen, kind enough to join us to talk a little bit about architecture here in not only the Midwest, but also more particularly about what's going on in Des Moines and some of those trends. Thank you, Paul, for coming in and chatting with us a little bit about this. Good luck on your conference that's coming up, and have a great time. We'll be looking at those buildings going, hey, I knew the guy that did that. This is kind of cool. Paul Mankins, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much. We're going to step aside. Time is getting away from us. We've got the Wall Street Report coming up. We'll tell you what the stocks did today on that sliver of land on Broad and Wall. And we'll also take a look at the Iowa 25 along with the commodity numbers. All that yet to come. And that's ahead of our time with Jolene Goodman. We're going to be talking about sales techniques, and knowing the value proposition of what it is you're selling. That's all next on the NewsHour.